All right. Thank you for that. We are, of course, as we're preparing for our building offering, we are back in our series we're doing on Ecclesiastes, because this kind of goes with it as we think about giving and we think about our mindset when it comes to giving. A lot of times we don't give because we don't have the proper mindset about what we have and what God has given us. And I want us to kind of look at that this morning. Next week is a big week, and it's very important that we, as John said, you know, how that was a good illustration. How in are we on this thing? Are we going to be in for 25 cents, or are we just going to give someone a pat on the back? Although I don't want you to be in on 25 cents, okay? For, you know, you can use a 25, but let's move the decimal point out just a little bit farther there. Thank you for that. But very important. But the reason people don't give, the reason sometimes we don't give, is because we have wrong philosophies, we have wrong views about money and possessions and the things that God gives us to steward. Solomon, as I've mentioned, you know, of course, in this book, we're looking at him because, to be honest with you, he was a confused Christian because he wasn't living for God. Now, the reason it's good for him that he wrote this book is because he was on both sides of the fence. And so when he's writing, he can really share some thoughts that would be helpful to us. Now, when it comes to the subject at hand, which is money and materialism, Solomon knew a lot about that. Solomon made a lot of mistakes in many areas of his life, and he paid dearly for most of them. Solomon would be a great voice, or is a great voice, on financial decisions because he made both good ones and he also made bad ones. Most people are not good with their finances, which is sad because we have to deal with it all of our life. Okay? Whether it's just dealing with what's on our plate in our life or using what God's given us to be a blessing to other people. Most people could use a financial advisor. Years ago, we had a man in our church when we were over on Pacific, and this was in the early days when I first started the church, and money was very, very, very tight for us. And he kept wanting to meet with us, and he's like, I want to meet with you. I can help set up a plan. I'm like, you don't want to meet with us. I said, there's no plan right now. We really, our income is probably a little less than our outgo right now. We're working on that. He goes, oh, no, everybody tells me that, but I can help you. And I'm like, no, you can't. And he's like, come on. I said, okay. So we had him over for dinner. And he came over to our apartment. We were living in an apartment, and we sat down. I gave him all of our, and we didn't have any debt. We just had bills. And here's how much we're making right now. Here's the thing, all that. And he sat down. And he talked about a bunch of things. He goes, oh, okay, I'll put something together for you. And he never got back with us. I told him that it was a struggle. There was nothing extra there. But we could all use a financial advisor. Solomon's a good one. If anybody knew about money, it was Solomon. Not only did Solomon have money, but Solomon had everything that is associated with an abundance of money. The problem was eventually Solomon didn't just have money, the money had him. Yep. He started out well and it didn't go very well for him. Solomon can be a great person to get financial advice from because he had good intentions. Solomon started out well. He took all that, he saw his dad, and his dad had even though his dad could not build the temple, his dad had laid up an abundance to help Solomon for the building of the temple. And Solomon came in and was great at first, but eventually he swallowed a lie. The lie was that what I have, what I'm making, and what I possess can bring me happiness, and that's just not true. We call it in America the American dream. The fact of the matter is, if most people were honest, the American dream turns out to be nothing more than a nightmare. And then Solomon paid the ultimate price for his bad financial decisions. We saw it in the very first lesson probably the second or third message we preached, where Solomon ended up hating his life. Solomon ended up complicating his life. Many reasons, and one of the reasons was because he had this wrong materialistic mindset. But the good thing is, he left us some advice. He wants to help us with this. It's priceless because of who it came from. So today, if Solomon were speaking as he is from the scripture, he would tell us one thing very, very clearly. Avoid a materialistic mindset. A materialistic mindset is the mindset that what I have in life, my joy in life, my enjoyment of life, what's important is dependent upon how much money I have or how many things that I have. But it doesn't work. And so in the verses we read, Solomon is giving us some facts about a materialistic mindset. He's telling us what it does not do for us. Because everything in our society is, if you had all the resources you wanted, you would ultimately be happy and live the life, and it just is not true. Materialism doesn't work. So what are some of his truths that he's teaching us today about what materialism does not do for us? Let me give you several this morning. First of all, Solomon mentions that materialism doesn't satisfy. Yep. Verse number 10 says, he that loveth silver, next four words, shall not be satisfied with silver. In fact, the thing that they love silver. That very thing that they love, and you love something, you think that it's going to help you, and it's going to be the thing that brings satisfaction. He goes, it doesn't satisfy. That silver that you love is not satisfying to your life. If money and possessions and silver and gold and all of that could satisfy, then the most satisfied man that ever lived would be Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes would read just a little bit differently. There'd be a lot of, this would be a happy book. It's not a happy book. Fact of the matter is, it's a bit confusing. We're trying to get something out of that which it was never designed to give. You may get what you want, but it won't give you what you thought. We chase after something. Why? Because we think that's the end all. That's the prize. That's the goal. This is what I need. And and if you happen to get to the end of the rainbow and you grab it and you get it, then you're like, I was duped. I'm still empty. I'm still missing something in my life. Because those things were never meant to satisfy. That's why people do financially irresponsible things. Playing the lotto is not very smart. It's not. There's a pastor in Chicago about 20 years ago, and he used to preach against the lotto. I mean, he preached against it. And then one day, his wife won. Got to change the message. And by the way, I've heard people say, you know, oh man, if I won the lotto, I'd buy you a new church. I don't need a new church. It's already going up. Don't give me your lotto money. Give me the money you have in your pocket, because the lotto money is fictional. Not going to happen. Just like unicorns. It doesn't exist. You have a better chance of getting hit by lightning than winning the lotto. And by the way, you can read story after story of these people that have won the lotto and it's ruined their life. Because money was never meant to satisfy, especially when it's got in an ill-gotten manner. I read a story of a man, his name was Buddy Post, and he won the Illinois lottery. And because of that, his wife left him so she would get his share, and his brother tried to kill him to get his share. Didn't work out for him. But the reason we chase things like that is because we think that money satisfies, and money never does satisfy. You can own the nicest things. You can have the biggest bank account. But it cannot satisfy, because God has made it very clear in His Word that was never the intended goal. It's just a tool. It's just a tool. Secondly, He tells us that materialism doesn't stop. In other words, it's never enough no matter what you get. Look at verse 10. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. If you love a bottle, I got to have more. I got to have more. Now that's a mindset. Now it's like, I've got to have more. No matter how much I get, it will never be enough. You know why? Because the more you have, the more that greed kicks in. By the way, and you don't have to have money to be greedy. You could be poor and be greedy. But no matter how much you get, if that's the kind of mindset you have, it will never be enough. Part of it is it doesn't satisfy, so sometimes we get it and we think it doesn't satisfy, therefore I need more. That's not how it works. Who you are as a person should not be tied up in how much money you have or things you possess. It just seems like the more money a person has, the more successful they are, kind of sometimes the worse person they are. Yeah. Well, you look down on people. But we always have to have more. Someone asked Rockefeller, how much is enough? At one time, the richest man in America, and you know what he said, just $1 more. Remember, there was a basketball player many years ago, Latrell Sprewell. He had the IQ of a brick, and that's really offensive to the brick. He was holding out for it, and he was not a superstar by any stretch. He was, and this is many years ago, probably the early 90s. And he wouldn't play for $12 million a year. And he wasn't a $12 million. And they asked him why. He goes, I got to feed my family. How many of you, let's be honest here today, you could feed your family on $12 million a year. And it would be good, too. I'm telling you, I'd feed my family and everybody else's family. Remember, Patrick Ewing, they were on strike. The NBA was on strike. And they're like, you make a lot of money. Why would you guys want more? And he said, well, we make a lot, but we spend a lot. I'm like, brain surgery. Wow. Once we start living for accumulation, accumulation will never stop. Look at Solomon's life. That just spread out to everything he did, right? No matter how much he had, and Solomon had a lot, he always wanted just a little bit more, just a little bit more money, sending all these boats out and all these things coming in. He wanted more women. One wife wasn't enough. 10 wives weren't enough. 150 weren't enough. 650 weren't enough. He had some serious issues working in his life. More possessions, more power. So when we live in that mindset, that's our goal in life. You may achieve that goal, you'll just move it. Doesn't stop. Next, materialism doesn't save. What do I mean? I mean this. The more you have, the more you will use. It just has a way of flying away. Verse 11, when goods increase, in other words, you're starting to get abundant, you're having more. What does it say? They are increased that eat them. In other words, the more you get, the more that's being spent, the more that's going out. I mean, you live on a certain budget now. If I just had whatever, more, if you did, you know what happened to your budget would kick way up. This is how people are. The things you have to pay for. Money, that you can't save it. Sometimes it's people or family members that help with this. Right? There's a man, I saw a story, and he was a very successful businessman. He had a good business, was making good money. For some reason, he played the lotto, and he won. Well, when people saw he won over like $300 million, they decided they wanted to get a hold of his money, so you know what they started doing? They started suing his business. Frivolous lawsuits. He had like 400 lawsuits in a year and a half. That's just how it is. When money comes, it's just sometimes it can be an issue. I was listening to radio a few months ago, and they were interviewing Reggie Bush, former football player at USC, played in the pros. And they were asking about certain players. And Reggie Bush is he's an intelligent individual. He's really good with his money. And he was just talking about these players. He goes, you know what? I feel very sorry for them because when they get money, now you got all the hangers-on coming around, the leeches. He said, I had a good friend. He was my best friend growing up. And he was like our family member. And he was stealing from me once I got my contract. People treat you different. But also, our mindset is different. Remember a few years ago, I read, and they did a survey, and they asked people, how much money would it take for you to be happy? In other words, for everything you need to be taken care of. And they found out something very interesting. No matter how much money a person made, the money that the amount that they made that they said they would need to be happy was always exactly double to what they had. So if someone made $50,000, they said, you know, if I made $100,000, I'd be happy. If someone made $100,000, you said, you know, if I made $200,000, I'd be happy. Because it's madness. It is madness. We just spend more of it. You don't save. It takes a hold of you. Could it be, here's a thought, that God blesses you with more so you can be more generous in your giving? See, if not, you're going to waste your money. Someone has said money talks, right? It does. It says goodbye. Okay? But maybe it's got, look, we've heard the numbers about, it was Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley made, I forget what the coin that in England is, but if it was four of it, he made two, he lived on two and he gave two away. And then when he made eight, he still lived on two and he gave six away. And when he made 16, he still lived on two and he gave 14 away. Now, I'm not saying you need to do that. It wouldn't hurt us, but I'm not saying you need to do that. But what it's saying is, no matter what his royalties and his income came, you know what he did? He said, I kept the means of living at a certain level. But it's hard for us to do that when we're living for materialism. Number four, materialism doesn't settle. Materialism doesn't settle. In other words, the payoff doesn't live up to the promise. They're not equal. Verse 11, and what good is there to the owners thereof when they have all this stuff, saving the beholden of them with their eyes? He says, what good is it? You get all this stuff and you know what you do? You don't do anything. It doesn't change anything. You're mostly just looking at it. It's of no value. It's of no good. And the stuff you get is doing nothing. The payoff is never equal to the promise we give to it. It's always less. If it was a math equation, you would have the word payoff and the word promise with the little greater than sign, and the greater part would be on the promise, not on the payoff. It just never does. That amount's not equal. You just sit there and end up looking at what you have. Think of Solomon. Solomon had more stuff than you can imagine, and yet it just sat around. Look, he had 1,000 wives, some substitutes and all that. Listen, we always tell everybody have a date night. He couldn't. He needed a date decade. Okay? Most of the women he probably never saw. All those possessions he had, they're filed away. By the way, isn't that what happens in our country? Okay, look, these storage places. Are you serious? Now, I understand if people are moving and stuff, but some people put all their stuff in there and they never look at it or use it, or I like to throw stuff away. I like an empty garage. Right now it's empty. Now my family will start working on that, but I'll just go throw it away. But I don't want to, it's like, oh, we got to keep that. No, we don't. We don't need it. You know, we're going to keep that two rolls of wrapping paper for Christmas next year. Listen, I'll spend $5 for that space. Plus, it's going to be yellow in it. You know, we might use that, and it's in there for 12 years. It's like, I'm pretty sure we're not going to use it anymore. But we have to have it. Solomon, everything that Solomon's heart wanted, he got it. Everything Solomon saw that twitched in his mind, he got it. Think about what his garage must have looked like. You know why it is? The things we think we need, we don't use. He said, I don't believe you. Prove it. Here we go. Two words. Exercise equipment. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And I'm not going to ask you. I could. We should bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have a stationary bike, or I'm not going to have you raise your hand, or a treadmill that's in your garage or somewhere in your house and you don't use it, raise your hand. Listen, we'd have revival. Thank you for being on. We'd have revival. Come down to the altar. Listen, by the way, if we just sold all those, we could pay for the building. Okay? But that's how we are, right? It's like, I have to have it. It's going to change my life, Robert. I'm going to be the next cyclist and win the Tour de France. Not off the drug a little bit, but that's okay. Listen, and it sits there collecting dust. How do you know? We got some bikes in our garage. I got to get rid of them. Tires are flat. It's been so long. My wife bought them, not me. Just kidding. So materialism doesn't settle. The payoff, and that is number five. Materialism doesn't silence. What does that mean? It brings more problems than peace. Look at verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Now, if you can't sleep, that doesn't mean you're not laboring. You could just have issues. Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Isn't that interesting? We think, man, if I just had all this stuff, life would be so perfect. Well, not if you live in California. Have you seen the tax code? Not if some of these people get elected. Have you seen their tax code? It starts at 70%. It's like, oh, and everything's wonderful. No, the more you have, the more pressure there is sometimes. Plus the pressure of just constantly trying to fight to get it. It does not bring peace. A lot of times it brings problems. Because when we have that kind of mindset, that kind of flows into our families. And then we'd rather have stuff than have peace with our family. Listen, it's just a problem. We'll not suffer them to sleep. When your life is wrapped up in all of these things, what are you thinking about? What are you worrying about? You know, you play the stock market. And there's nothing wrong with investing. Do it smartly, but that's all we're thinking about. And that's everything. And it's, oh, man, if it goes down, I'm going to, this or this is a struggle, or what if this happens? Listen, let's be as responsible as we can, but let's not worry about it. The reason we worry about it is because we attach too much to it. We're too emotionally attached to our stuff, and that's where the worry comes from. And the thing we thought would have brought us peace, joy, and happiness doesn't. I was listening to a radio program many, many years ago, and a former football player, Michael Strahan, he had just went through a really, really, really very expensive divorce. I think his wife got like $150 million. The guy asked him, he goes, man, he goes, that was expensive. What do you think about that? He goes, it was worth every penny. Okay, now I don't want to ask any more questions. Just move on from there. Sounds to me like his money didn't bring him peace. Doesn't silence. Next, materialism does not share. In other words, you end up hoarding to the point where it's personally hurtful instead of being helpful. Verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Huh. It kind of sounds like an addiction, right? Yeah. I don't know if we have an RU section for materialism, but we probably should. Because we have to have it. We're not going to share it. It's all about us. I love, and I'm not mentioning names, I'm not trying to be political here, but I do keep up with the news. Some of these very, very liberal politicians that want to think that we should, you know, take everybody's money and redistribute it, look at their giving records. Yeah. Some of them don't give. Seems like the more we have, the less that we give. Is that not true? Yeah. But it's an addiction. Percentage-wise, the more a person makes, the less that they would give. Orange County, by the way, is one of the worst in this country when it comes to charitable giving. It's one of the more affluent counties in this country. You would think the more they make, the more they would give. But that's not necessarily true. Many years ago, I saw a documentary on giving. And this was not a Christian organization. So what they did is they went to... They decided to do some get some donations for some cause. It was a worthy cause. And they went to two places. They went to a very, very, very affluent shopping center. A really high-end shopping center where rich people shop. And they had the people stand outside there and ask for money for this cause. And then they sent another group to, I think it was like somewhere in South Dakota, outside of a Walmart in like a farming community, a very poor farming community. And they had those people stand out there and ask for donations for this very same cause. At the end of the day, guess who gave more? Just the normal people. Not the rich. You think, well, you would think some rich, oh, let me give a... No. That's what happens. The more we have sometimes, the more we want to just keep. We get less generous because, again, what happens? Our whole life is caught up in accumulation. And when our life is caught up in accumulation, there is no way on earth we're going to give anything away. And by the way, it says that the riches are kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. What do you mean to your hurt? What about all the problems that kind of mentality causes? What about the wrecked relationships and just the kind of person they become? Next, materialism doesn't stay. In other words, the more you have, the more you have to lose. But these riches perish by evil travail. When we do use our money, because we have that mindset, we use them in the wrong way. We think that you know, we have to have, and I'm not against, you know, you can have something nice, but sometimes we overspend for things because we're trying to make a statement, right? Yeah. Causes us trouble. The harder you try to keep something, the more trouble it can cause. Money is not forever. It's not. There used to be a credit card company commercial where they would tell you the price of everything, right? The price of this, click. The price of that, the click. The price of this, click. The price of this. And then they would show you what it's for and say, but that's priceless. Now think about that for a minute. The thing they're telling you it was priceless, the relationship, they told you to buy all the stuff to get to that on credit. So the priceless thing actually did cost something. Okay? The things in life that are important are priceless. They don't cost a penny. But when we have that wrong mindset, we everything revolves around money. And then lastly, and this really would apply to us when it comes to our giving, materialism doesn't stick. You're not going to keep it anyhow. Look at verse 15. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Yep. All right, look, here we go. When you die, it's done. It's no longer yours. Yep. And now you have an eternity to face. You could gain everything this world has to offer, and you're not taking a penny of it with you. Amen. You're not. You're not. You get a casket. Oh, your casket might be a little nicer than somebody else's, but I'm guessing at that point you won't really notice it. Yeah. And you won't really care. Yeah. And your address is pretty much the same as everybody else. You know, -6 grass hole. I don't know. You're buried. You're not taking it with you. See, and the problem, one of the reasons we struggle is because we don't see our resources as something God might want us to use to further eternity. Not to beat a dead horse, but we've said it over and over. You can't take it with you, but you sure can send it on ahead. But we don't see this world through eternity's eyes. And when all we see is this world through right now, the here and the now, well, of course, we're just going to grab everything we can because we're not thinking of eternity. And by the way, let me just say this. That's a really bad investment. Eternity is a lot longer than, let's just say you live to be, I don't know, 110. Compare that to eternity, that's nothing. That's nothing. But yet we're more concerned about the here and now than we are about the by and by, whatever you want to call it. The sweet by and by. You're not taking it with you. Right. That thing that's defined your life will not define you in eternity. What will define you in eternity is how connected were you to God? How connected were you to God's will? How connected were you to God's purposes? That's what really matters. Did you help anybody? You know? There was a guy that was a pastor in San Diego many years ago. Many of you probably know his name. I'm not going to say it. Now he's a big time. He quit his church to become a big time leadership guru. writes all kinds of best-selling leadership books. He used to be a pastor, built a pretty good-sized church, was actually trying to reach people with the gospel, even though he was not our type of church. He went to a church that was like ours to learn how to win people. But now you know what his whole theme is? I just want to add value to somebody by teaching how to be a leader, but yet they're still on their way to hell. That was a horrible trade-off. That was a bad trade-off. Brother Fisher, they now that's their church. That used to be his church. That's their church building. Yeah. Quit the ministry. I don't want to add value to people. I want to add eternity to people. Yeah. You know, I don't want to make somebody feel better in this life just so they can die and go to hell. And I'm not against helping people that need help. I'm not saying that. Don't go there. But I'm saying is I'm not going to do that at the expense of someone not hearing the gospel. Eternity is important. Amen. And the reason we can't help sometimes is because we're so caught up in what's going. Whether it's in our giving, which is huge because we're giving next week, but some of you, it's even in serving God. You wouldn't give a minute to serve God. You wouldn't give a minute to do something for God because you're so caught up in what's going on in your life. Think about eternity. But we don't. We're so caught up in the here and now. What is the point? The point is materialism will wreck your life. How do you kill materialism? Be generous. Be giving. Understand that what God gave you, yes, is to meet your needs. I'm not saying it's not, but it's more than just meeting your needs. It's fulfilling God's purpose on this earth through his church. And I hope you'll get on board with that. Let's all stand together this morning.